And you're down at Victoria Trades Council Hall. It's been an exciting afternoon, actually. Down here on May Day, the first Sunday of May is the date that the Trades Hall puts aside for celebrations for International Workers' Day. We did have some rallies on the 1st of May, but today we're down at Victorian Trades Hall. They've all just set off on a march, but we're lucky enough to have a couple of people who have lingered to have a yarn with us. We've got Melissa from LASNET, Latin American Solidarity Network. G'day, Melissa. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. And Jane Morton from Beyond Billionaires. And I was thinking, Jane, that you probably used to say Beyond Millionaires, but everybody's now into billionaires, aren't we?
Look, I used to say Extinction Rebellion, but...
but they are connected.
But now we're Beyond Billionaires as well. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us, Melissa, why are you down at celebrating May Day, International Workers' Day, on a very windy and rainy day, in fact, which shows that all the true believers are here today?
Yes, we're whipping up a storm of proletarian revolution. And yeah, I mean, as a long-standing member of Melbourne's Left, I'm really happy and proud to be here continuing our traditions of resistance against the capitalist system. And I mean, I'm involved with LASNET as a Spanish-speaking person who lived in Spain for a number of years, and I think that our struggles are really interconnected. Here in Australia, we're part of the imperial core, and we benefit from all of the resources that are being extracted from Indigenous communities, both here in Australia and in other parts of the world, such as in Latin America. And I think it's really important that we show solidarity with people all across the world, and that is the May Day tradition.
It's very exciting to sing the Solidarity Forever song, really. It was very rousing. And part of being here today is that people, compatriots, are re-meeting each other, and it's a happier day, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It's good to be with our compañeros.
Yeah, it's a lovely affair. And Jane, why are you come?
Well, I think through the years, there's always an imbalance between the power and influence of the ultra wealthy and of ordinary people, and that's what's symbolised by May Day for me. It's just ordinary people trying to get together so that their power can equal or preferably exceed the tiny minority that has us in their grips.
It's a good day to actually talk to people about the important issues. We've just had some speeches which will be played later about the terrible situation of having a Labor government knocking down or wanting to knock down the 40 public housing towers. And it's part of that connection, isn't it, with Beyond Billionaires, that all these policies are being put together purely for very rich minority instead of the majority.
Look, I think the sad thing is that as people, as a small minority, have become so incredibly wealthy, like a billionaire earning 5% has $1 million coming in every week. Like, even if they buy a yacht and a plane and goodness knows what, they cannot spend it. So they're buying stuff. They're buying houses, they're buying businesses. But the thing that is the biggest problem is they're buying media outlets. They own just about all of them now. And they're buying politicians. They can afford to set up a whole political party just to defeat tax reform, just to make sure that the taxes on the ultra-wealthy get less and less. We're meant to be waiting for it to trickle down, right? So it's like a vicious cycle where the ultra-wealthy are just completely out of control right now. And I think they've paralysed the political system. You know, like Labor has made a few little attempts, right, to tax fossil fuel corporations, to tax the ultra-wealthy, to reverse just some of the tax advantages for property speculators. And they've been clobbered. They've been clobbered by campaigns organised and funded by the ultra-wealthy. But I think the important thing right now is that we are in one of those moments where ordinary people are waking up. They're not waiting for trickle-down anymore. to me, it's a bit like the Occupy period, where people went suddenly, hey, you know, why did the banks get bailed out and we didn't? And they set up, you know, the Occupy movement. We are the 99%. I think it's a very powerful sort of slogan.
It's interesting to me too that the billionaire side, a billionaire class, are actually the extremists. They spend a lot of time trying to categorise ordinary protest, natural protest, natural justice protest, as being extreme. But it's quite clear that when you meet in a day like May Day, it becomes clear from the various issues that people hold dear that the billionaire class is actually extreme.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Mm. Yes, and totally out of touch. See, one of the things that Beyond Billionaires is actually campaigning for is the Citizens' Assembly on redistributing wealth, because what you can see, you know, through history, is that ordinary people can agree on a lot. You know, there's always been that thing that, you know, if it was wealthy people and politicians whose children went first into war, there'd be no war. Like, if ordinary people had a say, they would sort out whatever problem there was between different countries straight away. So war, extractivism, you know, the destruction of our environment, and massive inequality. 99% of people don't want that. It's just that we've lost control of our political system. So we need to have a citizens' assembly where people get together, because when you actually get together, even if you on social media hate each other and disagree, you know, if you sit down and actually talk to each other as human beings, you find that you agree on really actually quite a lot.
Now, Melissa, you said that you have been, you probably had an ASIO file since the time you were a teenager. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey into politics?
Okay, so I started very young. I was partially raised by a member of the old Socialist Workers' Party, and she introduced me to anti-imperialist politics and Marxism, and I got involved with the anti-globalisation protests in the late 90s. Obviously, it was all over by 2001, but yeah, obviously having that background made me see the world in a different way, because so often in Australia, people think that countries are poor because they don't have resources, but actually countries
it's
have...
It's usually a double-edged sword being a country with resources.
Exactly, exactly. But actually, most countries that have a lot of resources are made poor by the system. If you look at the Democratic Republic of Congo, they have everything. They have gold. They have, I think they have oil, maybe.
No, they have rare earth minerals.
They have rare earth minerals. They have forests. They have, yeah, they are so rich in resources, and the continual wars and problems that are caused in that country are so that their wealth is extracted and sent back into the imperial core, sent to Europe. I mean, I've been to Europe a number of times, and there's just gold everywhere in the museums and the old palaces. And that came from Africa, it came from Latin America.
It's actually quite frightening to see some of the wealth in those buildings from the Baroque period and earlier. In they used them in advertising for European journeys, you know, buy a ticket to da da da, and you look at them and you think, my God, the wealth that was extracted from other countries in order to build that building. It's gobsmacking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you're fighting the good fight, and Jane, you've decided that, where did you start in your political activism?
Well, I went to an all-girls school, so I started partly with my Australian history teacher, who was an American, who gave a very jaundiced account of Australian history and taught me that history is written by the victors. So that was useful background. But the main thing that got me started was actually then arriving at university and just being talked over by all the young men. And I went, what is this, you know? So I joined Melbourne Uni Women's Liberation. It was in the 70s, right? So it was, you know, women's liberation, gay liberation, Vietnam War still.
Stand up and be counted.
Yeah, yeah. And we started a whole lot of little collectives. Like they only had about, I don't know, three or four people in each. But we had these incredible victories. Like the childcare collective. We were actually minding kids in the union, and then we decided we were going to just march to the university assembly, and some anarchists came with us. They locked the doors. The anarchists said, "Shall we break the doors down?" We said, "Oh, yeah, I guess." So then we occupied the university assembly, and then there was a union strike, a cafeteria strike, so everyone was out on the lawn. So we had these massive meetings, and then we just won childcare. So we got this idea about how you could just win from nothing, which has, you know, helped me in good steads since then.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, it's all come here on May Day. Thank you very much for coming and talking to me, Jane and Melissa,
Thank you.
This May Day.